Good morning, everyone. We're glad to see you again in the house of God. We thank you for your attendance, for those that are in the building, for those that are listening in at home, perhaps online. We do pray that the Lord will meet with you and with us, and we know the blessing of the Lord even in the proclamation of his word this day. We give a welcome to you. We give a special welcome to the preacher today. You may have seen the message that Mr. Smiley put out on the WhatsApp. He hadn't been feeling well for a few days. He went and sought medical attention. He's been put on a heavy dosage of antibiotics, and so he felt it better that he would stay off for today. It's not COVID-related, nothing to do with that, a separate issue altogether. So do remember him in your prayers and pray that the Lord will bless him and his wife, even at this time. So we welcome today for as our preacher. He'll be with us in the morning and in the evening service, Mr. Stephen Jemison, no stranger to us, an elder from our Newton Arch congregation. I was saying to one of the brethren out in the hall, and of course with masks on, you know the way you don't always pick things up. And I said, Mr. Stephen Jemison's coming this morning. He says, is that the tired postman? Now, he may be with all the miles that he's walked, but he's retired as well. But we're glad to have him in the service this morning. We've enjoyed his ministry in the past. We pray that the Lord will bless him even today and this morning as he ministers the word. He'll be back with us again for the gospel service, 7 o'clock. Do remember that. 6:20 to 6:45 up in the prayer room there, just prior to the evening service in the youth room, the prayer meeting will take place. Make an effort. Do come out and pray that the Lord will bless the preaching of the word tonight. Our sister Naomi Wilson will be bringing two messages in song, and we pray that you'll pray for her. And again, you're all welcome to come and to join with us again this evening. As you leave the service, the baskets will be at the door. There's one clearly marked for the church offerings, the general offering of the church. But today, it is the Missionary Council offering. And each one of those baskets will be separately marked. The other one is marked Missionary Offering. So just please put the relevant gift or money that you're putting in to the right basket. We would appreciate that. And remember all the restrictions in place as you enter and exit, and while in the building. Those restrictions are still upon us, so we ask that you would adhere to them, please. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., Bible study and prayer meeting, and God willing, our own minister, the Reverend Smiley, will be along to minister the word and to lead in that season of prayer. After the meeting on Tuesday night, there'll be a short meeting for the workers to consider the resumption of the parent and toddlers group. So that will take place immediately after. It's to see if others can help and if possible to resume. So any help and your presence will be appreciated. Friday evening at 8 p.m., the ordination and installation of Mr. Raymond Morrow as minister of the Bushmills Free Presbyterian Church. Now, this service is being held in the Coleraine Church. It is by invitation only, but it is being streamed live. And once we have those details, we'll put them out on the church WhatsApp site that you can pick them up and listen in then on that service on Friday evening. Next Lord's Day, the 19th, the Sunday school at 10 o'clock. It started this morning, good number in. I know the children enjoyed themselves. So that will continue next Lord's Day at 10 o'clock. Family worship service at 11:30. The gospel service in the evening, preceded by the time of prayer as usual. And again, in the will of the Lord, the preacher at both services will be our own minister, the Reverend Smiley. At the end of next Sunday evening service, there will be the communion service. We normally have it once or twice a year on the last Sunday of the month, but because that will be clashing, I'll make a brief announcement about that in a moment. The following Sunday we'll be having our Missionary Sunday, so to prevent a clash of that, that communion service will take place after the evening service next Sunday evening. Bring your own bread and wine as you normally do. And if you need replacement cups or you need cups, you'll find them in the basket or in the box there just on the table. As you come in the door, they'll be there tonight. They'll be there Tuesday night for the prayer meeting and also next Sunday morning. So if you need new cups, they will be there for you to lift as you require. Then, as I mentioned, a couple of Sundays from now, Sunday the 26th of September, the Missionary Sunday. In the morning, Mr. Andrew McMullen, who works with the boys and girls in County Monaghan, will be along. In the evening, our sister, Miss Christina Logan, who is a children's evangelist under our own mission board, will be along to speak on that occasion. We do ask you to come, plan to attend, be with us, and indeed encourage those who will be along to minister on that day. Do remember as well the sick of our congregation. Sister Mary McFadden is due to continue her treatment this week. She's going for another course on 14th of this week. Our sister Irene McBurney has an appointment on the 15th. That decision by the consultants, by those in charge, whether it's treatment or surgery. So pray that wisdom will be given and that indeed each one of these that have been mentioned will know the help of God and the grace of God at this time. Do remember as well to remember Catherine, Nessie's daughter. She's out with her. I think she's due to come home shortly. Her own daughter and others as well that need a touch from the Lord at this time. Do remember them in your own private prayers and bring them before the Lord. Just one other thing before we close and hand the meeting over to your brother. Last week, all the offerings that came in, we were able to lodge over 7,000, of which 5,400 was for the building fund. And so we've been asked to pass on to you our appreciation for your generous giving, for your support for the work of God here. Do remember the work in the days to come, decisions being made, the start of the work. We're hearing so much happening out in the schools, especially the work amongst the boys and girls. So do pray that we might know that wisdom that comes alone from the Lord. As I say, we're glad to see you. We're glad to see and have our brother, Mr. Jemison, with us. I'm just going to hand the rest of the meeting over to this tired postman, and we know that the Lord will bless him. Okay, Stephen, thank you very much indeed.
Well, we do thank James for those announcements. And I often say to people, don't call me Mr. Jemison. My father was Mr. Jemison. I'm just Stephen. In fact, I had to tell our new pastor that, the Reverend Baker. And I think he's took it on board. But whether I'm Mr. or Stephen, I'm glad to be over to Ballygowan today and to share with you from God's word and to share in fellowship in this service as we worship and praise the Lord together. We trust the Lord will bless the Reverend Smiley and that he will be well again very, very soon and be out again with you here in the meetings. Our opening hymn is number six. And I see it on the screen. I take it it's up behind me. And I hope I'm not in the road of that screen behind me. I'm hardly big enough to be in the road. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring. And remaining seated, let's worship the Lord and sing with all our heart unto him this morning.
Thank you.
Well, shall we unite our hearts, please, in prayer? And as we come to the Lord, I'd ask you if you're able to stand as we seek the Lord in our opening prayer. So let us all stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, today again for thy great grace, thy great mercy, and thy great love. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art God, and besides thee there is none else. The great and almighty God, the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things. But we thank thee, Lord, those of us who are saved and we are thy children by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that thou art also our heavenly Father. And we thank thee, Lord, for thy great care. How, Lord, when thou dost look upon thy children, thou rememberest thy covenant. We thank thee, Father, that thou dost see us in Christ the Lord. All our sins are forgiven. The atonement has been made. The Savior cried, finished. And we thank thee, Lord, that by faith alone we have received that gift of righteousness. And we thank thee, Lord, for our standing in Christ and our standing in grace before thee. We thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies today already. We thank thee, Lord, for mercies on the road as we've travelled and come to this house to gather to worship. Thank thee, Lord, for the children, the boys and girls who already have been taught the scriptures, pointed to Christ. We pray, Lord, that that seed will be sown well in their hearts. We pray now, Lord, that as we gather to worship thee and praise thee, Lord, that thou wilt lead us by thy Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, for Spirit-led worship. As we seek, Lord, to keep all things according to thy word and the truths of the Bible, we pray that each of us will know the help of heaven. For thou art worthy, Lord, of the greatest praise. Thou art worthy of the lifting up of our hearts and our voices unto thee. So, Lord, guide us and lead us and help us. We thank thee, Lord, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on cleansing from all sin. We pray again for thy cleansing, Lord, today. We're very conscious, Lord, that we're not perfect. We're very conscious, Lord, that we're in these bodies on this earth. The world, the flesh, and the devil seeking always to frustrate our walk with God. We thank thee, as the Savior said to Peter, he intercedes for us, and our faith doesn't fail. We pray, Father, that you'll bless this work and this church and this witness on this road in Ballygowan. Remember thy child, thy servant. Pray for the touch of the Lord, Father, upon him in his body, that he will be raised up well and healthy and good to continue the work of the Lord and the preaching and teaching of thy word. Remember others in the congregation, Lord, who need that touch. We bring them, Lord, to thee. We ask thee, Lord, because we love them in Christ and for the Saviour's sake, that they might know thy gracious care. And thou wilt meet their need physical and meet their need spiritual, meet their need even, Lord, in their heart and mind. May they know the peace of God that passeth all understanding, guarding them. We pray, Lord, that you'll remember each one who's gathered in each family. Remember the Free Presbyterian Church, Lord, and our sister congregations. Remember those among our ministers who are not well, and some of them, Lord, have known serious illness. We pray that thou wilt bless them and bring them forth, Lord, and restore them to their pulpit. We pray, Lord, that you'll keep us all safe. Oh, Father, we ask thee in mercy. In thy great mercy, lift the scourge of this pandemic from us. Grant, Lord, that the work of God, the work among the children and every aspect of the work will be able, Lord, to continue. And Lord, that we'll see many precious souls yet saved by thy grace. So Lord, we look to thee. Abide with us now, Lord. And remember the ministry of Let the Bible Speak today and the ministry of Sermon Audio, and remember the word going forth across the globe, and all who are faithful to thee and our own missionaries, Lord, bless them and keep them and watch over them and use them and extend thy kingdom. Lord, we pray. We ask these things and we offer prayer in the precious and worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The hymn number 58, please, and again remaining seated. Jesus, the name high over all in hell or earth or sky. If you have your Bible this morning with you, I want to read this morning the first chapter of the book of Ezra. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. And it's the first chapter of the book of Ezra. And we want to read these 11 verses this morning of God's precious and holy word. Ezra chapter 1, and we're going to read from the verse marked 1, and let us hear the words of the Lord. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel, for he is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem." Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised, to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, and with beasts, and with precious things, beside all that was willingly offered. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridath, the treasurer, and numbered them on to Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them: 30 charges of gold, 1,000 charges of silver, 29 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up with them of the captivity that were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem. And we know the Lord will bless the reading this morning of his and from his precious word. Now, can I ask you please just to stand briefly as we pray, just before we come now to the word of the Lord. Father, we thank thee this morning that we have the Bible. We have a copy of the inspired holy word of God in our own tongue. Thank thee, Lord, we can read it today. But we ask thee, Lord, to take what we have read and hide it, Lord, in our hearts. We pray, Lord, that the word will come with quickening. Quicken thou me according to thy word. And we pray, Lord, as we've gathered around this pulpit of wood, we will stand as one to take in thy truth. There will be the response in all of our hearts, that hearty amen, as we are in agreement with thy will. We pray, Lord, for thy help now, and I ask for the help of thy blessed Holy Spirit. The church will be edified, and that we will go on with God because of what we hear from thy truth this morning. So bless us, Lord, abide with us now. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. Now, the little book of Ezra, of course, is a record of the Jews who returned after the captivity to the land of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem, that there they would build again the temple to the Lord, which of course had been destroyed. Little book of Nehemiah also describes how that they returned to build the walls of that great city. And just as we come this morning to this first chapter of God's precious word, I want us to consider some thoughts from it. You know, we are living in times which I doubt any of us saw coming. I look down at you with your masks on. Who thought that would ever come? You know, there's one of these ministries, if I can call it that, in the United States. And this wee man, at the beginning of every year, he brings 10, I think it is, of the top prophets in the land to prophesy and to share with the people listening in what God has given them as regards what's coming on the earth. And you know how many of those 10 saw the pandemic coming? Do you know how many? None. There's some prophets. There's some prophets. I think we should stick to the prophecies in God's precious word. Imagine, not one of them saw it coming. But we do live in these times, and they're serious times, and they're frustrating times, and as our brother James, even in the announcements, we have seeking to evangelize the children and carry on with the work of God, and yet we're hearing about the rise in cases, and we're hearing about again the harm that's coming upon the National Health Service, and who knows what may come this winter. We trust and pray the Lord that our services will remain open in the coming weeks and months. It can be discouraging. It can be discouraging. And sometimes, you know, when we think of all the difficulties and the problems, and of course along with the fact that it is difficult, isn't it, in these times to get anybody to come into the house of the Lord to hear the gospel of Christ. It's difficult. And sometimes we talk to ourselves about all the difficulties. And we talk to each other about all the difficulties. And I think there's a danger in that. Not that it's wrong to be realistic and to deal with facts, to deal with the world as it is and not as we would like it to be. But nevertheless, we can maybe persuade ourselves that really there's not much can be done in these times. Not much can be done. We'll hold the fort. We'll keep the door open, we'll maintain the witness, but there's not much else can really be done. And is it possible? I speak to my own heart as well as yours. Is it possible that even as we're praying at home or praying in our prayer meetings, that the Lord would bring people in, and we're sincere and we have a desire to see our family and friends saved? Is it possible that even as we pray, in the back of our mind there's doubt and there's unbelief? And even as we're praying the words, there's the thought in the back of our mind, you know, there's nobody going to come. There's nobody going to come. I was at a mission just this past week. It's actually being held by a brethren assembly in Newton Orge. It's in the town and country there in Regent Street. It's an office block. And there's a man over from, I know some of the men from that gospel hall. I was at school with one of them all through Mavilla. And the man who was over is from Fife in Scotland. He's the evangelist for these 2 weeks. They were telling me about the assembly where he is. They have seen a number of Roman Catholics saved. And they're all Celtic supporters. And they're in the assembly. And then another man got saved who was an Orange man. And he approached the oversight and he said, "Would it be all right if my lodge came to the meeting?" And they said, "Listen, you can come, but we would rather you didn't wear your regalia." Now, no offence to any Orange men who are in the meeting, but they just didn't want them wearing all their... "Oh," he says, "no, we'll not wear our regalia. We just want to come and make this a service. We do this every year." And so the lodge came. They didn't wear their regalia, but they all had on their lodge ties. And so he said it was amazing, because there was these converted Roman Catholics and some of them Celtic supporters all their life, and here's these Orange men sitting beside them. I remember thinking to myself, I wonder could that happen in Northern Ireland? But God's able. And I want to just show you that this morning from this chapter of the Word of God. You know, there's a lovely verse, and I remember well the first time I really meditated upon it, and it was such a blessing then, and it continues to be a blessing to me now. But in Romans chapter 15, if you just keep your finger there in Ezra and turn to Romans chapter 15. And in chapter 15 of Romans verse 4 we read, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Now it is therefore most definitely the revealed will of God that we be a hopeful people. And our hope should be fueled by the meditation and study of God's precious word. Of course, he's referencing here the Old Testament scriptures. We now also have the New Testament scriptures, but they were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Now, the next verse says, "Now the God of patience." We all have to learn patience. I know we live in a day when there's instant coffee, instant soup, instant this and instant that. But God works to his own timetable, and we have to learn by his grace and the gift of the Spirit patience. But nevertheless, we are to have that hope. And if you come down to verse 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." So this is not something, you know, that you work up or that I work up. This is fueled by our study of the scriptures, and it is the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, brothers and sisters, even in this time, we can be conquerors, more than conquerors, through him who loved us. And so as we consider just four thoughts this morning from the first chapter of Ezra, I trust that the Holy Spirit of God will enliven us all in our hearts and in our spirits and in our minds today, and we might go from this house a hopeful people. In spite of all that's going on, our hope is in the Lord. And if your hope is in the Lord, if your hope is in the Lord, you can never be without hope. Because he is the Lord, he changes not. Now the first thought I would leave with you from this chapter is this. I see clearly here the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. If you look at the first two verses, let's read them again. "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah." And you can see that what's happening here in the life of this king is all happening because of the Lord. Behind it is the Lord. Behind it is Jehovah, the God, the covenant God, promise-keeping God of Israel, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You'll notice the reference there to Jeremiah, the prophecy of the Lord, the fulfillment of his word. Oh, can you not see here the sovereignty of God? The fact that God reigns over all things. Now, within the overall reign of God and God's eternal will and purpose, of course, there are many wills. There's the will of Satan, there's the will of the demons, there's the will of ungodly men, the will of those who rebel against God's laws on this earth, but they are all under the will of God. The secret things belong unto the Lord. We think of God's eternal decree. We think of Ephesians talks about the eternal purpose of God in Christ Jesus. You know, we find, of course, a great reference to this in the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 4. And there we read in the verse 25. And Daniel is giving the interpretation to Nebuchadnezzar. This is the interpretation, O king. And this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Oh, those prophets, those 10 so-called prophets who didn't even see the pandemic coming, they're not like our God. Our God ruleth over all. There's nothing happens outside the sovereignty of God. We think of his great purpose. And I have no doubt that what is happening is all part of that great purpose, though I can't understand it. He knows the end from the beginning, but I absolutely, with hope in my soul, believe that God is on the throne. I know a little woman, she's in the glory now, one of the Wilsons from Corridor. And she never liked that chorus, "God is still on the throne." She used to say, "What are you singing that for? Of course, he's still on the throne. Where else would he be?" And she would sort of rebuke people. But you know, we know the meaning of that chorus. His great purpose and then his providence. And you see, that's what we're seeing here working out. The providence of God. That God can step in. Intervene. God can do things we looked not for, we didn't anticipate. God can suddenly come to his temple. The sovereignty of God. You know, the word of God tells us, and we're reading here about this great king of Persia. And you know, in Proverbs chapter 8 and the verse 15 and 16, we read, "By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth." Isn't it good to know the Lord is over all, be they in high places or low places, or no places? Be they presidents, prime ministers, first ministers, deputy first ministers, Lord Mayors, Mayors, leaders of local councils. Sovereignty of God. Oh, the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places. You can be sure, you and I can be sure, the devil would want us all to get downhearted and depressed and discouraged in these times. Well, don't let him. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. There's the sovereignty of God. Oh, so much you could say on the sovereignty of God. But let's move to number two, the stirring of God. You see, the sovereignty of God is not something that's just away up in the far heavens, away beyond us. And it's not just something we can read in a theology book, chapter in a book. Sovereignty of God comes right down. Because look what it says in verse 1. Remember, the Jews have been in captivity. First of all, the Babylonians, the Medes and Persians, and now Cyrus, king of Persia. And we read there that the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. The Lord did that. We're not told exactly the circumstances, but the Lord stirred up the spirit of this man. I know a very, very little part of that, because I can remember waking up one Saturday morning in my home in Newton Arch before I was converted with this desire to go to church. And where that came from, I can only say, looking back, it came from the Lord. The Lord stirred up. You mean the king of Persia? The king of Persia? Can you imagine that man in his palace, surrounded by his royal guards, no doubt armed to the teeth? These boys, they love all the pomp and ceremony. There's chariots. And yet God got right into his spirit. And God stirred up his spirit. Oh, may God stir today. May God stir you and I, who are his believing children. Do we not confess today that we need a stirring from the Lord? Again, in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1, we read, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will." He will. I'm glad today that we worship the God who can stir up the spirit of any man or woman to fulfill his will. No, brother and sister, this morning, if you are praying for a neighbor, if you're praying for a loved one, and maybe you've been praying long and nothing seems to be happening, well, here, can I encourage you to do this? Can I encourage you every day to open your Bible at Ezra chapter 1, put your finger on that verse 1, and you pray that God will stir the spirit of that one you're praying for. Lord, I read in your word that you stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make this great proclamation concerning the building again of the temple at Jerusalem. Lord, stir up the spirit of my son, my daughter, my mum or my dad, or my brother, my sister, my neighbor, that fella I work with, or that girl I work with. If God can stir the king of Persia, he can stir them. The stirring of God. The stirring of God. And you know, it's a great thing as a believer to be stirred. It's a great thing as a believer to have the Lord come And you read this man's words in verse 2. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Now think about this. The temple is lying waste. The walls of the city are rubble. 70 years of captivity is coming to an end. How is God going to do this? He stirs up the spirit of the king of Persia. He stirs up the spirit of the most powerful man on earth at that time. God is able. Oh, brothers and sisters, remember the verse in Romans, whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through comfort and patience of the scriptures might have hope. Be hopeful today in God. Be hopeful today in the God of the Bible. Oh, let's pray for a stirring. Let's pray for God to take hold of people. And God to bring them in. And don't pray with that doubt at the back of your head. We're living in difficult times. Our brother Colin Maxwell is speaking today in Newton Ards, and I was asking him how the mission went in Money Slane. He told me about souls that had been saved. The drive-in mission. God's able. So there's the sovereignty of God. There's the stirring of God. But let me thirdly mention the seeking for God. The seeking for God. Because as I thought upon this, I thought about how people were praying. How do I know people were praying? Who were praying? Well, I know this, and I want you to turn to this. Daniel, the book of Daniel. Daniel in Babylon was praying. You know, in the marvelous providence of God, Daniel ended up in Babylon, and not only that, but he ended up right up there with the great and the good, as they're called. And Daniel was there to stand and to witness for his God, even though he was a captive. And if you look at Daniel chapter 6, do you remember the story? Do you remember how they decided that they would, the presidents and princes, they sought occasion against Daniel? But he was a man who, he was a holy man. He was beyond reproach. And they couldn't find anything in his everyday life. Though they says, well, we'll snare him. We'll snare him concerning the law of his God. So they persuaded the king, to King Darius, to pass a law that nobody was to pray, nobody was to seek the counsel of anyone but him. Look at verse 10 of Daniel chapter 6. Now remember, this is all happening in Babylon. And now the Medes and Persians have taken over. But verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. This was not an unusual thing for Daniel. This was his habit. He was praying. Why did he open his windows toward Jerusalem? He was praying for the restoration of Jerusalem. He was praying to the God who chose that place to put his name. And so Daniel prayed. You know, we come over to Daniel chapter 9. And verse 1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, he's still praying. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. He's studying the scriptures, you see. And I set my face unto the Lord God. The scriptures quickened his soul. He had been praying. He's going to continue to pray with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. Oh, there's a seeking for God. Behind all of this that's happening in chapter 1 of Ezra, there has been and there is a seeking of God in prayer. Oh, let's not neglect the place of prayer, brothers and sisters. Let's come together in the public prayer times to encourage one another and to pray. I learned to pray in many respects. I learned to pray in the prayer meeting. As I was sitting there, just saved, 17 years of age, I heard men and women around me praying. And I can remember Brother Billy coming to speak at those prayer meetings in the old building there, where on the site where our new building is. You see, there's been a seeking for God. But I want you to notice my fourth point is this, the supply of God. Let me put it like this. This might be a strange way to put this, but I hope you know what I mean. God can finance his own will. God can finance his own will. Now, of course, in this passage, the supply of God is more material and more physical. If you look at verse number 4, this is part of the proclamation that the king of Persia made. He said, "And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem." God did that. God's able to supply all your need. God's able to supply all our need through Christ Jesus, according to his wonderful grace. You know, our needs are spiritual, of course, and God meets our needs spiritually. If you look at verse 5, "Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites with all them whose spirit God had raised." God raised their spirits, and they were ready to go back. God supplied their needs spiritually, but he supplied their need physically. You know, our God has promised to supply our need, all our needs, not our greeds, but our needs. It's a wonderful part of the Christian life to watch God meet your need. And isn't that what the Lord Jesus taught in the Sermon of the Mount? You know, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel is one of those places where you read again and again and again from the lips of the Lord Jesus, "Your Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, your Father which is in heaven." And he says, "Your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added on to you." And if we keep spiritual priorities, it's amazing how God just keeps adding and adding and adding to meet our need. Now, some people preach today that it's God's will that we're all multimillionaires. They preach that. And it's all about laying up treasure on this earth. Now, if God blesses a man, blesses a woman, and blesses their endeavors and their business and whatever, that's great. I was just a postman, as James reminded you all. But that's great. That doesn't bother me at all. The Lord bless them. But you know, we're not to lay up treasure on earth. It's treasure in heaven. I despise those preachers. I despise those men. I watch them sometimes on the television, and I despise them. They actually vaunt their wealth before the people. And this is God's will. Of course, they're getting the money in from all over the world on the internet. It's flooding into them. Someone said they're fleecing the sheep instead of feeding the sheep. All I'll say is this: God's able to supply your need. Day by day, day by day, day by day. Regardless of the economy, regardless of who is in number 10, or perhaps who's in number 11, or who's up the hill, we can look to God. The sovereignty of God, the stirring of God, the seeking for God, and the supply of God, and God's will was done. Now, not without opposition. You go on through the book of Ezra and you'll discover the work ceased. The devil will oppose God's people. The devil will oppose this church. The devil will oppose you getting to the prayer meeting, be it in your own home or in the church. The devil will oppose you reading your Bible and getting down to serious study of the Word of God. The devil will oppose that. But we can overcome by the power of God. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Are you standing this morning? This is your God. This is my God. This is our God. The God who worked in the life of this king of Persia, all to fulfill his will. May God bless these thoughts today to all of our hearts. We'll just close, I think, in prayer. We'll not sing that closing hymn. Father in heaven, we do thank thee, Lord, for the encouragement from thy precious word. Thank you, Lord, how real the scripture is. Thank thee, Lord, how heavenly it is and yet down to earth it is. Thank thee, Lord, there's a word for us, a word in season. Thank thee, Lord, for how the Bible and the study of the Bible encourages us and quickens us. And our spirits are raised. Lord, keep us in that frame continually. Help us, Lord, to be encouragers of each other. And to always remind ourselves and each other that the God in Ezra's day is our God today. Help us, Lord, to look beyond men and policies and manifestos and whatever else, and help us to see the God who sitteth on the circle of the earth. Lord, build your church. Bless the work among children and young people. Bless the services, bless missions, save souls, and be glorified, Lord, in all of our lives. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us and remain with us this day and every day till Christ comes or calls. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. We're glad to see you again in the house of God. We thank you for your attendance, for those that are in the building, for those that are